My sermon is "It Is Well With My Soul," but there's a couple of things I want to touch on before we get into it. Pat and Alex, thank you so much for this. You know, that parable of the mustard seed, did you even see the little seed in there? Isn't it interesting how small that is? And have you ever seen a huge mustard tree? I mean, they're big. It's one of the biggest trees in the Middle East. You know, so when you take a look at this and you see it grow, that's why things are so important. But today is a special day, isn't it? It's Father's Day. Fathers, not fathers, Father's Day. And I got to thinking about this, and I thought, how does this relate to our sermon? Well, you know, mothers and fathers have different roles in raising children, don't they? If I had to say a mother's role, what is it? Probably is a nurturer. She's the one that nurtures the child. The father's role is he builds character. Listen, you said you're going to do it, you got to follow through. Sound familiar? Okay. And I think those are some of the two biggest differences between the way a mother and a father works in the home. Okay. Because the father is probably more judgmental, I would think. Even though if you ever met my mom, that was not the case. But it's one of those things, it is well with my soul. No matter what we go through in life, it is well with my soul. But as human beings, don't we seem to focus on the negatives rather than the positives? You know, it's human nature, but is it Christian nature? Think of the news. When's the last time you saw something positive on the news? Well, it doesn't, yeah, never. It doesn't sell, does it? You know, because it doesn't scare people. Well, why is this? Why does it happen that way? I feel that it is the important center of our faith that we are positive, that we let that human nature of negatives go. You know, when you look at Corinthians in here, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more in a second, you know, Paul really focuses on the difference between living in the spirit, living in the flesh. And I've talked about Galatians 5, where he actually goes through and lists both. If you're in the flesh, you do this, and the spirit, you do this. But yet, he does it here, too, doesn't he? I'm going to start in verse 6. I want to remind you of this. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Isn't that an interesting way of putting that? But folks, I actually go see the dentist on the 1st of July. So hopefully, let's at least. Okay. But as I look at this kind of thing, why right and left? Well, you got to remember in this time period, in the Roman world, in the Jewish world, there's a difference between being on the right side, being on the left side. In Latin, anybody know what the word for right is? Anybody study Latin in here? Dexter. Dexterity. Okay? And so it's one of those things I find very interesting because how's your dexterity? You know, dexter is right. Left is sinister. I mean, look at that for a second. If you're right, I mean, how many of you were left-handed in here? Okay, how many of you had a teacher try and change you to be a right-handed? Okay, because left-handed is wrong, isn't it? You got to be right-handed to be right. That's right. You know, so it's one of those things that as we look at things, you always want to be right, whether it's right with God or right with our faith or right with whatever. It's a great goal as Christians to live in the Spirit. But it's not easy for us, is it? It wasn't easy for them back then either. A little bit later, Paul says this, but we put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. Now stop and think about this. We put no obstacle in anyone else's way, so that no problem can be found with our ministry. In other words, I'm not going to put something in your pathway that's going to be bad. Would that be negative or positive? Be negative, okay? And so what we're going to do is build up, not tear down. Now, as a band director, as a musician, I don't know how many people I worked with as conductors, that the first thing they do is tear everything down and then rebuild. Why? Okay? That's like the old way. How many of you grew up on a farm? How do you lead a pig? You don't. You push them in the opposite direction you want them to go. They turn around and run the way. That's right. You pick up their hind legs and walk them. They don't like that either. But it's one of those things. Why? That's right. Never know what you're going to get in a sermon here. But it's one of those things, you know, why force somebody to do something that's not good? Why don't we force them to do something that's not bad? See what I'm getting at? It's a different way of looking at things. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, and hunger. What happened to the apostles? They were all killed, weren't they? All but one, John of Patmos, okay? And most of them were either beheaded or stoned or whatever. Peter wanted to be crucified upside down because he didn't think he had the he should be punished not in the same way our Lord was punished, but so they did him upside down rather than right side up. Can you imagine how awful that would be to die? I mean, as bad as crucifixion is, have all that blood go to your head. Ooh. But in the past, being a Christian has not been easy, has it? Is it easy today? And as I watch the news, things look like it's getting worse too, doesn't it? Well, so what is it telling us? I think we have to stand up for our faith. Quit looking at your watch. Oh, okay. I'm teasing Ron. But it's one of those things, you know, today, it's not easy to be a Christian. And it seems to be getting worse. I mean, let's face it, we're a Judeo-Christian nation that's not Christian anymore. And I find that sad. I really find it sad. But yet, I think our psalm addresses this in an interesting way. Remember, the psalms were written by the Jewish religion, but yet many of them have Christian flavor, and I think this is it. And it's starting with verse 7. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. What have we escaped from? Our sinful nature, from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Is that a great reward? Surely it is. But you know, many times that when we look at this kind of stuff, we're always trying to put something hard in the way. Remember, Paul said, we're not going to put obstacles in there. He doesn't need to, because we put obstacles enough in there ourselves, don't we? Don't we make it hard on ourselves? You know, when we talk about forgiveness, forgiveness comes from God, flows through us, and then flows out on other people. Yeah, but the thing is, forgiving yourself is where it comes tough, doesn't it? You know, I don't know how many times I've seen that. Let go, let God. Well, that's easier said than done, isn't it? Because once you let it go, who are you? Stop and think about that for a second. You know, we've sung in here, sing a new song unto the Lord. Let your song be sung from, you know, mountains high. All right, so we talk about that, a new song. Well, if you get rid of the old Adam, the old negative person, who are you? Because many times we focus on that negative more than we focus on the positive. Peggy has said that it's easier to hate than it is to love, because you have to work at hate, and you've got to feed it. Now, we don't feed love, we take it for granted. But yet, we want love more than we want hate, don't we? So why do we focus on that negative instead of focusing on the positive? That's a good question, isn't it? And the thing is, I can't answer it for you. You have to answer it for you. You have to let things go. Steve has said a few things. Steve and Denise are in Ohio. But Steve has said to me, because we focus a lot on being in the gospel and not the law. And all of us, I think, were raised in the law. You know, judgment, this kind of thing. Especially if you came from a Baptist family or something like that, or even Roman Catholic. You know, so we don't want to focus on the law. We want to focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ, which saves and forgives. But yet it's so much easier to stay in that law because, as Jeff said, you know, when we have rules to follow, it makes it a lot easier. You don't have to think. You don't have to say to yourself, all right, what would Jesus do in this case, or what would Jesus want me to do? See, that takes effort, where you have to actually act on something rather than react, because the law is a reaction. The gospel is an action. Do you see the difference between that? It's that positive action in our lives. We have escaped. We're free. Martin Luther's last name is Luther, right? That wasn't the original family surname. You know what it was? I tried to find it, but I couldn't last night, or couldn't this week. It was adopted by his family. And Luther is actually a Greek word that the family adopted. Okay? The word is Luthero. And Lutherus means that we are all. And Lutheran means it is. And Lutheran means freedom. So we have escaped. We're free in the gospel. We're free of that negative nature. Boy, that's easier said than done, isn't it? But whenever you start feeling that negativity coming in, is that the law or gospel? That's law. Because remember, law is what we do. The gospel is what we receive and share. Where did we come up with the name Lutheran? Okay, we've talked in here before. We're Catholic, aren't we? Yeah, but we're first 4 centuries Catholic. Okay, and there is a difference there. We were actually called Lutherans by the Roman Catholic Church as a derogatory term. That's like during the Revolutionary War, Yankee Doodle was first sung by the British soldiers as a derogatory term to the revolutionaries. And so they took it and said, great, started singing it and said, it's our song. Okay? That almost should be the national anthem of the United States. Can't you imagine everybody standing up, Yankee Doodle went to London riding. Boy, that would be great, wouldn't it? Oh, no kidding. Oh, jeez. You know, when we're free, we can do things out of the love of the gospel. And I got thinking about this. You know, many of you were here when we took Megan and Wyatt into our house, what, 3 years ago? For a year. Anyway, we gave her a car. We ended up spending all the money we had in savings, which was almost $18,000, trying to help them. And it wasn't appreciated. You know, we went into debt to try and show somebody a better way of life. The Christian way of life, focusing on the positive, not the negative. Did it work? No. Does Jesus tell us it has to work? What does he tell us? We have to try. And that's the important thing. You know, when we start looking at our positive nature and sin and negative nature, we want to be in our positive nature. But it's so easy to fall into that negative nature. But all he asks us is try. And remember, 51% of the time, if you hit it, you're doing well. Don't be perfect. You know, I love this scripture. I've fought the good fight. I've entered the race. I've run the race. And I've done my best. Where does it say in there he had to win the fight and he had to win the race? It doesn't. I fought the good fight and I made the race. Just last week we talked about the German Bible. And Jesus' last words on the cross is, it's not, it is finished. In German it's, es ist genug. It is enough. And isn't it enough that we try? Isn't it enough that we make that attempt to be on the positive side and not the negative side? And if we've done that, I think Jesus is going to be pleased. So in closing, I'd like to share one more quote from Paul that I think ties together our life as a Christian and our work in the service. And this is the end of, you know, it's interesting because our Corinthians today is full of gospel, isn't it? And it's the epistle. Anybody remember what the word epistle means in Greek? Epsis, hope. So the epistles are letters of hope. And Paul says, working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, and in a favorable time, I listened to you, and a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is that day of salvation. Today is our reward for focusing on the good and positive nature and being a Christian. May this day of salvation keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus today, tomorrow, and always. And the people of God respond with, Amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah and Amen.